We're turning in God's Word this evening to the Gospel of John. John's Gospel, and we're going to read from the third chapter in that Gospel. If someone asks me, I want to start reading the Bible. Where should I start? And without hesitation, I would say, go to the Gospels. Go to the Gospels. Everything written in the Old Testament scriptures points forward to what we have in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. And everything after that, from the book of Acts to the book of Revelation, points backward to what we have in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. If I could give you a simple biblical illustration from creation. When God created the heavens and the earth, He created two great lights. The greater light to shine upon the earth, and the lesser light to shine upon the earth. You can liken those lights to parts of the Bible we call the Old Testament and the New Testament. Two great lights. And they're shining, as it were, on the earth because the Son of Man came into this world. And they're focusing all their light, just like the light of the sun and the moon and the stars. They direct their light toward the earth. And all the scriptures from the very beginning to the very end focuses in on and centers upon the Gospels. You can't understand the rest of the Bible unless you've got a grasp of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are different from the book of John. And John's known as a didactic gospel. That simply means it's a teaching gospel in the sense that there's more of Christ's teaching focused in upon in the Gospel of John. The other Gospels certainly have the Lord Jesus preaching and doing all those miraculous works. But you'll not see the numbers of miracles in the other Gospels in John's Gospel. It focuses on the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to read from John's Gospel, chapter 3, this evening. And there's something very instructive that the Lord would have us to learn. There was a man of the Pharisees, verse 1 says, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Amen. We know that the Lord will bless this public reading of his own precious and inspired and infallible word to our hearts. Let's seek the Lord's face in prayer. Lord, we pray for the minister of this house. Put your hand upon him, bless him and use him in the days that lie ahead. Remember the rainy connection who mourn the loss of a loved one. Be a comfort to them, we pray. Remember us here tonight as we consider thy word. Oh, for the breath of the Spirit. Oh, for the might of the sword, leading us on to inherit all that in Jesus is stored. May that be our experience tonight, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If I was putting a title to the message this evening, it would simply be tracing to triumph. We have read of a man tonight whose experience we're going to trace through John's Gospel. There are three references to Nicodemus in the Gospel of John, and as we look briefly at these three references to Nicodemus, we can see ultimately how the gospel triumphs in his life. Now, as we do that, there's a wee phrase, and you'll see it in all the references, about Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night. I want you to keep that in mind as we look at the portions of Scripture before us tonight. Let's look then, first of all, in John chapter 3. And here we have Nicodemus in the darkness. It was more than physical darkness. But we're told that this man, this ruler of the Jews, this Pharisee, he came to Jesus by night. Now let me suggest two things concerning Nicodemus. I want to suggest, first of all, there was a fearfulness. And I put it to you that that's why he came to the Lord Jesus Christ under cover of darkness. It was the Passover time in Jerusalem. And of course, you'll see from our reading, it was night time. It was a time when many, many people would have gathered at Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. People would have traveled from all over the country and far beyond the borders of the land of Israel. They want to be in Jerusalem for the Passover. Even today, when Jews celebrate the Passover, as they bring it to a close, they will say next year. Next year in Jerusalem. So people would want to be there. It was a cool, windy night. You'll see reference to the wind blowing in this portion. It was a cool, windy night when this man called Nicodemus made his way secretly to where the Lord Jesus Christ was. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly where his location was, but it tells us that Nicodemus came to Jesus at nighttime. Why did he come at nighttime? He came at nighttime because he would have been fearful of his peers. He wouldn't want to see any of his fellow religionists. He wouldn't want them to see him consorting with this man from Galilee and those who accompanied with him. After all, he was a leader, a ruler, a master in the Jewish religion. He wasn't the normal hypocritical type of Pharisee. He was a genuine religionist. He was a fine, upstanding, moral person. Isn't it amazing that you have such a person in John chapter 3 and the very next chapter, as Christ is traveling back from Jerusalem toward Galilee, he meets another person, the very opposite, the woman of Samaria, a woman of questionable character. And my, this is the Christ that we proclaim to you tonight. He deals with those who walk on the clean side of the road, and he deals in mercy and in grace with those who walk on the other side, the unclean side of the road. Sinners Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all who the heavenly pathway leave, all who linger, all who fall. Tell it o'er and o'er again. Christ receiveth sinful men. Well, here's a man who was a clean, living man. And he comes under cover of darkness. Maybe that's you tonight. You come to church. You have nothing to do with the more open and overt sins. Many people parading their sinfulness today, they're unashamed to do so. Well, you wouldn't be like that. You have a regard For the church of God, you have a regard for the word of God, but you're still in the darkness. You're not yet saved. Maybe you're fearful of what your family would think about you. Maybe you're fearful of what your colleagues would think about you. One of those Bible thumpers, one of those hellfire preachers, by you're numbered amongst them. Maybe it's the fear of man is holding you back. That's what Nicodemus had, the fear of man. I suggest to you not only this fearfulness, but in fact, I more than suggest to you, there was a faithlessness. Because this man we read of was a ruler of the Jews. He was a Pharisee, a devout religionist. And later on, he's called, the Lord calls him a master in Israel. Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? So here's a man who had a lot going for him. No doubt he would have frequented the worship of the Lord. He would have been regular in his attendance at the temple. It was a joy for the Jews to go to the house of God. We can see that reflected in one of the Psalms when David said, I joyed, went to the house of God. Go up, they said to me. And Nicodemus would have been numbered amongst those, but he hadn't faith in Christ. He was a master of Israel. He could have taught you the history of Israel, the biblical history. He had a regard for the things of God. But he says to the Lord, when the Lord's speaking about being born again, how can these things be? How can they be? Can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? The Lord says, that's not what I'm talking about. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being born of the Spirit. He had everything going for him, church attendance, morality. No doubt he was looked up to in the area where he lived. And no doubt if people knew him, they might say, if anybody's going to heaven, surely it's this man. But he had not yet got faith in Christ. Maybe that's you tonight. It's good to be fine and upstanding in your neighborhood. It's good to be thought well of by your peers. But you need to trust Christ. That's not enough. You must be born again. You must turn from your sin and trust the Lord. So here we have Nicodemus in the darkness. But then if you turn to John chapter 7, in John chapter 7, I suggest to you that we have Nicodemus in the twilight. You have Nicodemus in the twilight. If you look at John chapter 7, and the closing verses of that chapter, verse 45 onwards, you'll notice that there were officers came to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said They said, the chief priests and the Pharisees said to the officers, "Why have ye not brought him?" So they sent these men out to try and trip up Christ in his words to get something that they could use to condemn him. But these officers that came back, they said to the scribes and to the Pharisees, look at it, "Never man spake like this man." Now, these were his enemies. These were people who had gone out to find fault in him. These were people who were ordered by the religious authorities of the day, "Go and find that which we can use to condemn him and to destroy him." And look at their admission. They came back and they said, "Never man spake like this man." Think about it. They went out to listen to him intently. They went out to take note of every word that he spoke. They went out to get something on him. And they couldn't. They were completely, utterly, and totally disarmed. And they had to come back to those that sent them. Nobody ever spoke like him. We can find nothing. And that's the Christ we endeavor to present to you tonight. Oh, you'll find faults with the church. You'll find faults with its ministers. You'll find faults with its followers. But there is no fault in him. Never man spake like this man. Never man lived like this man. Never man loved like this man. Never man died like this man. Never man triumphed like this man. And it says, "Glorious, triumphant Christ, we present to you tonight." It's not the church, not Free Presbyterianism. We preach Christ crucified. That was the admission of these men. There's nobody like him. But notice not only the admission, if you look again at those verses, there's an attempt, because we're told that Nicodemus said unto them, "Doth our law judge any man before it hear him?" And his colleagues were seething with rage. Why, they were seething with rage because these officers didn't bring back this prophet of Galilee. And they became even angrier when one of their own company seemingly attempted to speak on behalf of this man. "Doth our law judge any man before it hear him?" You can imagine their reply. "There's no prophet comes out of Galilee. You search and see." And Nicodemus doesn't come back in that. It says they all went to their own homes. You see, it seems to be, to me at least, an attempt, maybe a half-hearted attempt, by Nicodemus to stand up for the Lord Jesus. Now, maybe that's the type of person you are tonight. Maybe you acknowledge, at least in some measure, the truth of God's word, the truth about Christ, but you haven't nailed your colors to the mast. And when others speak ill of the Lord, and when opportunity arises, you attempt, you endeavor, maybe half-heartedly, to say something. Oh, I wouldn't condemn them. It's wrong to condemn. That's, in fact, what Nicodemus was saying here. Wrong to condemn a man before you hear him. When people talk about gospel-preaching churches and they condemn them, they're just Bible thumpers, and maybe you think, well, it's wrong to condemn somebody. Why didn't you come on here? Maybe your attempts are half-hearted. In that sense, you're like Nicodemus. You're in the twilight. His first appearance, he's in the darkness. Comes to Jesus by night. And you'll see in Matthew 7 that this same portion tells us the same that came to Jesus by night. So see the connection. He's in the twilight. But then if you turn with me, please, in John's Gospel to chapter 19, we have the Lord Jesus Christ. We have Nicodemus in the full light of the gospel. It's amazing. It's astounding that at the most difficult of all times, even the disciples forsook the Lord and fled. Closing verses of John chapter 19. That's the time. That's the instance when this man came through for the Lord. You'll see there's a rich man referred to, and we're told in John 19 that Joseph of Arimathea came and besought Pilate that he might take the body of Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea was a disciple, tells us that, of Christ, but secretly, for fear of the Jews. And that's exactly what we're talking about with regard to Nicodemus. He was afraid of his colleagues. He was afraid of his peers. He was afraid of his fellow religionists. What would they think? What would they say if I'm identified with this Jesus of Nazareth? Well, Joseph of Arimathea was like that. He was a rich man. He was a wealthy man. You know, the Lord has his people everywhere, even among the rich. He has his people there. And it's amazing that this man, Joseph of Arimathea, comes out and nails his colors to the mast. No longer a secret disciple, coming right out for the Lord at the most difficult of all times. When he was crucified, when the multitudes were pouring scorn upon him, when even the very disciples that accompanied with him for 2 to 3 years previous, they all forsook him and fled. And that's the background that Joseph of Arimathea came to Pilate, the Roman governor, and asked for the body of Jesus. But notice something else. There's not only a rich man here, there's a repentant man here, because we're told that Nicodemus came as well. Notice the reference. He that came to Jesus by night. So notice, when this man comes, Joseph of Arimathea, we're told that there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night. Notice, there came also Nicodemus. So this man, Joseph of Arimathea, coming out and nailing his colors to the mast, identifying himself fearlessly with Christ, it must have, at the very least, encouraged Nicodemus to do the same. You see what it says? There came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night. Maybe, let me put it to you, maybe you holding back and not giving your heart to the Lord, not turning from your sin and trusting in Christ, just maybe that is stopping someone else coming. Maybe someone in your family. Maybe a friend that you know. And who knows but that you're coming right out, having done with your sin, not caring at all what others think about you. I must get right with God. I must get ready for heaven. Maybe that will result in others coming to the Lord as well. Not only should you come to Christ for your own good, your own eternal spiritual well-being, but you should do it for others as well. Your family, your friends, your loved ones. Oh, would you not think well upon these things tonight? Maybe as we've been talking briefly about Nicodemus, we've been talking about you. Maybe the things we've been saying about him, you can identify. That's me. Oh, would you not think well and follow the road that he took? Tread the path that he trod and come to the cross. Come to the crucified Christ. Come and openly and unashamedly identify yourself with him. Oh, that you would thus come.